the best, oh yes, I guess, suggest the rest, should fest, don't mess or test your highness, unless you just address with best finesse and bless the paragraphs I manifest. Damn, that was not easy. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
That boy is good.
Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, November 19, 2025. That's accurate, right? Yeah, that's accurate, right. Today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, keeping on with tradition, I am sending out a shout out to all you listeners. And before we start this, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. Yeah. Applaud like you mean it. Part of the reason why I ask you to applaud yourselves is because if you're part of my target audience, you're likely the kind of person who celebrates everyone except their own selves. Right? Yeah. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Yeah, welcome. And that also includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Yeah. Well, here's hoping that even though that happened, you stick around, and at some point in this episode, I say something that resonates and allows us to make history. And just to assure you, or just to help you identify which podcast you're listening to, shutuppodcast.com is the website. And shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. My usual reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge bleu. And if at any point in this episode you find yourself not liking something I said or how I said it or why questioning why I said it, then all you need to know is it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. In today's episode titled 308, Time to Set It Straight, I talk about how I celebrate the fact that I'm part of the 80%. I will elaborate on that, but just to give you a feel, today's theme, I just noticed when I'm looking at my topics, my randomness, my quotes, randomness, and final thoughts, it all revolves around the theme of masculinity and relationships. Gay, this guy being gay. Anyway, yeah, so it might be a touchy-feeling episode. a bit of maturity might be required for some of you. Some of you boys. All right. Before we get to that, that's what I usually say before we get to that. You know what? Let's start the show. That's what's up. Exactly. This is signal that we're officially starting the show, and I need to pay attention to how much stuff I put before the beginning of the show. But, all right, so let's start with some quotes. And these quotes, oh my God, these quotes relate to today's theme, actually to the final thought. And first one goes, being a male means hiding your humanity, Robert Bly. Next one is, the opposite of courage in our society is not cowardice, it's conformity, Rollo May. And the last one is more of a thought, and it goes, watching these shows, I'll elaborate what I mean by these shows, but watching these shows is like playing GTA. I'd never do it in real life, but hand me the controller. Yeah, that one was AI generated. Yeah, as I was contemplating today's theme and brainstorming, it ended up generating this thought. And it goes, watching these shows is like playing GTA. I'd never do it in real life, but hand me the controller. And yeah, that's it. Okay, so let's start with some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
My first randomness. I had a nightmare last night that I was one of those seven MCs.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, next one. Yeah, so this one is, why the fuck do I watch this shit? And that thought came to me. Actually, this thought always comes to me when I'm watching shit made by, what's his name again? The dude who made Yellowstone and Landman. I watched season 2, episode 1 of Landman, and I was watching it. I watched season 1. I binge-watched season 1 at the beginning of this year. Now that I think about it, damn, has it been that long? I mean, yeah, whatever. And I fucking hate the fact that I enjoyed it. That's what I said. I keep telling myself, why the fuck do I hate this shit? Enjoy this shit. And every time I watch it, I feel like that scene in those who've seen Game of Thrones and Samuel Tarly with his dad, with his ultra masculine father tells his nerdy book nerd can't fight for shit. Can't pick up not the definition of masculinity, the opposite of the definition of masculinity, tells his son.
Your nose buried in books, spending your life reading about the achievements of better men.
Randolph, whatever the title, that's his dad. And he said, nose buried in books. Spending this time reading about the achievement of better men. And oh man, that scene hit me, especially his dad, whatever. Anyways, so yeah, I watched these shows and I got a kick out of it. And and again, because this is what I do on this podcast, I process feelings, I process my thoughts, and realizing that I'm fantasizing watching this shit. Although, like, these shows are marketed towards, where did I put it? There's a theme of a big theme, an overarching theme about old school masculinity, and it's marketed towards white, middle-aged, blue-collar, conservative type. All these characters are not characters that I would get along with. I mean, I'd be civil with, but they're not characters. Like, most of these motherfuckers voted for Trump. I'm like the woke. I'm like the shit, man. You colorful. I'm the black guy who doesn't know his place. I'm like the you're not real. You're a city boy. You know what I mean? Anyways, I'm into this shit. I'm enjoying it. And while driving here, thinking about this episode, this randomness, I was thinking maybe it's similar to. No, I'm about to cook here. Maybe it's similar to how white kids, again, I'm saying maybe, this is a theory. I'm just spitting theories, it's not facts, theories. Maybe it's similar to when white kids were listening to conscious hip hop or even gangster rap. Or maybe like what's the name of that book? Like white people reading about black people's struggles. And to them is, I am nothing like them niggers. But they enjoy fantasizing of being in that life. Being in that world. They don't necessarily want to be there. But they have images of themselves. Excuse me. Of themselves in that world. Look, in the end, the conclusion is, it just hit me. Yeah, it's a fantasy. It's like the feminist who watches the Kardashian. I have a homegirl who's like that. I'm like, how can you watch that trash? And she'll laugh. She's like, it's her guilty pleasure. Anyways, I'm trying to come to terms with, if this was my Hotep days, oh man, I'd be kicking, my brothers would be kicking my ass. What the fuck you mean you watch Yellowstones and telling everybody about that white man garbage? Nothing about me. Anyway, yeah. Just last thing is I was at work, and so I'm a supervisor, right? And the team, we're in a situation where something we set up didn't work, and I have to, and the client is hounding me on why the fuck didn't it work. Like, I hate these situations where I gotta explain how someone on the team, it's a collective fucked upness. So anyways, I gotta talk to the person on the team who, like, responsible for the overall system. And a part of me was a little, like, annoyed that we're in this situation, that I gotta get on my knee. Like, I gotta have the, I gotta take the clients out of my ass. Cause they get up in my ass, not them. Anyway, so I'm talking to the person, right? And essentially the biggest takeaway I got from his explanation is, it sounded like, at first I was under the impression that when I said that, hey, is this shit going to work? I'm vague details, right? But the day before, when I said, is this shit going to work? They assured me it would. And the next day, it doesn't work. And it's not the first time this shit happens. And I remember my initial instinct was to go all Tony Soprano on this motherfucker and said, motherfucker, you fucked me. And use a lot of cursed words and blah, blah, blah. And talk tough and shit like that. No, you know what I did? I heard him out. And it's a good thing, too, because he said, no, I did. And, he reassured me, he did look into it. So now we're going to have to do some more digging. And maybe the thing is just broken. But I remember in the way my mind wanted to handle it, I wanted to handle it the same way my ultra masculine character would have handled it. Flip tables, threatened her wife, fucked her bitch. You know, something like, I don't know, whatever, man. Something like that. But it's where I'm going with this. It's the realization that I'm watching characters accomplish things different from the way I would have. I would. And it reminds me of this joke that I used to have, or this joke/speech of how I used to say that Kim Jong-un is my favorite dictator. I used to joke about that, aside from the fact that we have the same birthday. But and what I mean by that is because I'm, like, empathetic, highly sensitive, kind, or whatever word you want to use. I'm like a softie. There we go. And sometimes I fantasize about being cruel, about being vicious, horrific. Like when Biggie raps about give me the loot. I listen to that track and I fantasize that I'm on the train going, give me your money, bitch. Give me, I don't give a fuck if you're pregnant. Give me your baby ring and your number one mom pen. Put that shit in there. Put that shit in the bag. I mean, and deep down inside, I'm like, hey. And I know there's a, okay, hold on a second. I have a habit of speaking in this microphone and imagining that I'm talking to people who won't get it. I'm not talking to my target audience. And so I'm going to pretend like I'm speaking to my target audience, and most of you can relate to what the fuck I'm talking about. And I don't need to explain why sometimes you might fantasize about being this terrible, evil person, but it's not true. Because in my mind, being cruel is the easiest way of getting people to do what you want them to do. Fuck consolidating, or it's the easiest way of feeling respected in a world you feel disrespected in. Or you don't feel like You know, okay, you know what? This might be a final thought. It should be a final thought because I'm realizing that there's way more ideas that I need to unpack. But again, why the fuck do I watch this shit? I'm not going to get into the female characters, the women characters, the portrayal of women in that show. That's different. But, you know, I wonder if there's a link between those shows and all the porn I watched as a teen. Yeah, I used to admire the male characters. I'm like, fuck, man. I bet. Yeah, fuck. Deep down inside, he's probably like, I'm just trying to get high. Whatever. Whatever. Like, is there such a thing as a male actor, pornographer, who's like passionate about their jobs? Or is it like, dude, I got bills to pay, or I got an expensive coke habit? I you know what? That's not fair. I don't know. All right, let me stop. But anyway, sheer fantasies. That's all it's all about. Sheer fantasies. So why the fuck do I watch this shit? Escapism.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. This one is, all right, okay, I'm going to rush this one so I don't want to think too long about it because it kind of links to, it's kind of the bridge between masculinity and relationship is what I'm going to talk about in the final thought. And this one is, I was watching, what episode was that? I was watching season 3, episode 9. Drama, that's what it's called? That's the episode? Anyway, of The Sopranos. And I was thinking about, I guess you need to watch it, but I'll this one, I'm going to try to describe the scene as best as I can. But Tony Soprano, when he meets Gloria for the second time, I believe, yeah, second encounter he has with Gloria. Gloria is this ubats, is this, what's the word? Side chick. It's this girl he meets. And he's got a thing for it. Married man, but right, Tony's married. And he meets, and he's got a thing for her. And he's into him, and he's into her. And but this is the scene that triggered today. This thought.
Douchebag buys a new 600 for me every year.
Oh, HBSA goes. That douchebag buys a new 600 for me every year. And what happens is, so Tony shows up. She's a sales rep for Mercedes. He shows up to his work and he's in the middle of catching her getting out of a car with a potential buyer, and she looks like kind of flirtatious, and he's got a suit and everything, and I guess so Tony's first question to her is like, who's the douchebag? So I guess Tony's feeling a little insecure, and she reassures him and says, that douchebag buys a 600 for me every year. And she shows him, and later she shows him her watch. And the reason that scene had me thinking, it reminded me of all those times, I was either, or I was in a strip club and dealing with one of the strippers. Right. And, you know, again, they're selling you a fantasy. That's the exchange. You give them, you pay them lap dance, and they're selling you some fantasy. Maybe this episode should be about fantasy, but whatever, man. 88, time to set it straight. That's nothing to do with reality. Anyway, whatever. It's, so, you know, and you had your time with the stripper, and then she hooks up, and then after whatever her exchange with her, and then you see her hook up with someone she's actually into, and you realize that I'm the douchebag who buys a 600 every year. And where am I going with this? Because this was a long ass setup. The point I'm getting at is, I remember forgetting that I was playing myself, forgetting that we had a fair exchange. She sold me, she gave me a fantasy, and oblivious of the fact that she did what she was supposed to do, be a fantasy, right? I don't know shit about her. I probably do, but you know, don't really care. I'm all about the fantasy. Right? Oh, I probably, like, in my mind, I'm convinced that I'm falling in love. Well, I could be good for you, lady. And and the dude she would hook up with is usually some toxic male for the most part. Whatever, you know, like, for the most part. And in your mind, you're like, but I'm the good guy. Where I'm going with this, because I keep forgetting what the point I'm trying to make is, when I was in that scene, the first time I saw that scene, I took offense. It reminded me of all those times that I'm like, shit, I got played by this girl. I'm like, fuck, she just wants the bad boy. All the money I spent on her, the fuck you mean you don't love me? Whatever, right? And I was offended at the idea of I was the douchebag. And now, the version 2025 version of me saw that scene. And mind you, I was high when I saw this. So that's where this is why I watch these things and all kinds of thoughts go on. Because usually when I'm high, I do a lot of thinking. And I was thinking, I'm like, maybe I'm better off. Maybe it's a good thing I was the douchebag. Like, if I was at gunpoint and had to pick between being Tony Soprano, who the girl is actually into, or the sucker she plays to sell her car, if I had to pick between the two, initially I would have said, I wanted to be Tony. No, maybe I got off easy being the douchebag. Because you can turn that off. You can always leave. I mean, you know, once you snap out of it, right? you stop by. If you watch the show, is so Tony, married guy, ends up with this side chick, and she ends up being like bad shit crazy. So much to a point, it got to a point that she hooked up with, like, she shows you see in that scene she was into him, and then at some point she's like crazy, and it got to a point, spoiler alert, it gets to a point where, yo, this chick nearly like tells his wife about him. Like, he really comes close to, Tony really fucked up in this one. I don't know, it just reminded me of, you know, it just reminded me of all those women, not just the strippers, but all those hot, sexy, red flag women who turned me down. And I find myself considering that most of them were doing me a favor. Or most of them just you. It's like, dude, you couldn't handle this pussy. You could not handle this pussy. Actually, yeah, this pussy like wrecks families. This pussy makes men go bankrupt. This pussy makes men want to go to war. What do you got? I mean, I got my niceness. I got my kind, whatever. And, part of this, I can't remember the name of this comedian. And she had a joke about, essentially just that. It's like, I can't remember the full joke, but essentially it just got me thinking about all those hot chicks that I lusted over and turned me down. May have done you a favor. Because some of them were just like, we're red flag. We'll fuck you up. Trust me, you couldn't handle this pussy. It was different than thought. Different than thought. I again, do that a lot on this podcast, is I will watch a scene high and then think about the way I saw it the first time and the way I see it now. And I just thought it was... it was cool. But yeah, shout out to all those douchebags. All right. This is it for quotes and randomness. Now it's time for final thought. I'm thinking of changing it to final say. Final thought to feature thought, and I'm thinking final say. I like the word five. Cause whatever. All right, so before we do that, let's take a quick break. All right, this one I labeled as shout out to us 80%. Okay, I'm going to play this clip. It's I think it's probably 3 minutes long, and then we'll comment on it, because this clip is what is inspired today's final say. Name of the content creator, she's like this dark-skinned sister and just like full of intelligence. Like I have to fight the urge to say, she speaks so well! You know what I mean? I was hoping to get her name before playing it, but all right, some of you might recognize the voice, but I'll share it later.
The dating world is in complete shambles, and it's because in 2025, men and women are not compatible, and here's why. So, on a purely animal level, where the biological goal is reproduction, women and men generally do need each other in order to accomplish that goal. But once you go beyond biology into emotional needs, partnership, purpose, fulfillment, that is where the compatibility breaks down. But even biologically, men and women have completely different reproductive incentives. Men, like most mammals, evolved to maximize mating opportunities because variety increases their reproductive success. For women, because pregnancy is physically dangerous, resource intensive, and still carries a non-zero fatality risk even today, have evolved to prioritize stability, commitment, and safety. So this creates opposite incentives under the same relationship structures. Fast forward to 2025, and women have socially evolved in ways that the old relationship system was never built for. Women do not need a man for survival anymore. They can self-actualize without attaching their identity to a partner. Meanwhile, men are still socially rewarded for behaving like their biological script, so seeking youth, maximizing choice, and minimizing responsibility. And across cultures, we still have this prevalent idea that a successful life for these two completely different systems is to come together, build a family unit, and that is success. And historically, the system has worked because women's survival depended on men, and that's when you saw low divorce rates, more arranged marriages, happy nuclear families. But most of those stats and data were collected and reported by men, which didn't meaningfully include women's actual experiences. And by that logic anyway, that these systems have gone on for so long, so why change it? Well, slavery lasted for hundreds of years, but longevity within a system doesn't actually equal moral correctedness or functional design. And I think modern dating exposes this incompatibility very clearly. Dating apps show us that women are only giving attention to the top 10 to 20% of men in these dating pools, meaning that women do not want to date 80% of men and would rather be single than emotionally drained. And this panic about young men being left behind is essentially just a group who feels that evolution is moving past them. So what happens is then there's this push to force traditional roles back into place by pushing reproductive control, attacking autonomy, and trying to maintain a system that collapses when women choose themselves. Now, many non-binary communities practice different systems of relationships that can lead to healthy homes and fulfilling lives. Are they all perfect? Certainly not. But it does show that there are different ways to organize our relationships. And I think that the resolve in all of this is that maybe we just accept that on a fundamental level, we are at an evolutionary crossroads. And if you are a man that women are not choosing, then you need to evolve. And if you are a woman only chasing the top 20% of men, then you should expect scarcity. Neither outcome is a failure necessarily. They're just the logical results of our current incentives. And both are inevitable until we restructure the incentives that shape modern relationships. But I'm here for a healthy debate, so prove me wrong.
Message.
All right. The content creator's name is Nubia the Creator. And if this is your first time hearing from this woman, well, you're welcome. She's confused white people so much that homegirl is so intelligent. You know when white people like they speak so well. White people have been accusing her of being AI because that's how smart she is. She's got white folks confused. Like, what the fuck? This talking monkey is smarter than me. All right. So, all right. So get to the point. I really enjoyed her take. I'm not debating. Everything she said were things that I've suspected about relationships. And it's that I feel like the game is rigged for our failure. I remember I had a revelation. In my late 30s, I remember, I think it started after a failed relationship. And where I found myself wanting to be like, fuck this, start from scratch. Reevaluate everything. Reevaluate what it means to be in a relationship. Reevaluate what it means to be in a man. Fuck that. I'm checking all my assumptions. because something is wrong. And all this to say that it put me on the right path that I am where I am now. Well, I mean, some of you may not agree. I mean, if you're stuck in the system, what's the word she used in this system? Yeah, you'll likely disagree with this, right? But I found myself realizing that none of us were taught. Most of us were not taught to find true connections. We said true love or whatever. Some of us probably came from families like, yeah, my parents are married, but they weren't actual examples of true connections. Like, they were two people who got together out of necessity, out of like, and whatnot. Maybe I should just speak for myself. But, or not just the parents, but look, I grew up in a Christian family. And the idea is you go from boys to men, girls to women, finish school and get married, have children, and be miserable. under the guise of Jesus, you know, and then you go to heaven. And so all this to say that I was not surrounded, even though I've been, most of my relatives are like still married, like 45th anniversary. Most of them are that. Most of them were not great examples. Most of them were dysfunctional relationships. on the surface, it looks beautiful. You'd be like, oh man, when you look at the pictures, you're like, oh, what a beautiful couple. But inside, it's nah, man. It was, and then for me, that's what normal was. I remember thinking marriage, that was actually the intention. I was gonna marry a woman and spend the rest of my life complaining about her. Because I thought that's what relationships were. But anyway, so the game is rigged for failure. One of my homegirls put me onto this idea. She ever hooks up with a man at the bare fucking minimum. She's not looking, actively looking, but she said the bare minimum, this motherfucker needs to be a feminist or understand feminism. And I agree with her because it's as if we were all raised to be, to oppose each other's, like, it's like male versus female, female versus male, and yeah, but fall in love. It's adversarial, is that the word I want to use? Born to be adversaries. And then you wonder why all these divorce lawyers are making a killing off our dumbasses. I have this theory that part of this, how people profit from this adversarial relationship of men hating each other, of women hating each other, men hating women and women hating men. It's part of the whole. As long as these folks are fighting, they're not focused on us. As long as black and white are fighting with each other, Christian, Muslims, or Christian, whatever, as long as we have oppositions, we're all safe. When I snapped out of my toxic masculinity ways, I found myself realizing that, oh, wow. And I remember it was on an International Women's Day, realizing that, wow, I've been basing my entire perception of women on or judging their characters on the fact that this hot chick won't fuck me. Or I was doing shit like hooking up with women I was not compatible with or wasn't trying to find true connections with. And then when the relationship would fail, I would blame the opposite sex. It was their fault for my dumb mistakes. Again, the game is rigged. But this is not the part I want to focus on. The part I want to focus on is the one that got my attention is when she says that, what's the line? She said,
Dating apps show us that women are only giving attention to the top 10 to 20% of men in these dating pools, meaning that women do not want to date 80% of men and would rather be single than emotionally drained. And this panic about...
Right, that one there. Men not interested in... women not interested in 80% of the men out there. And you see that when you're on the dating apps. The reason why this part caught my attention is I talked about those ultra masculinity shows I grew up on, fucking hip hop, toxic masculinity, misogyny, but what they all had in common is I was programmed as a man to see myself as part of that 20%, to either be or see myself as part of that 20%, which is bullshit. And if you didn't see yourself at that, then you are dysfunctional as a human being. That means a lot to me because I would give myself the illusion of being in that 20%. I'm going to a strip club, pay lap dances, so this woman could help me create the fantasy of me being part of that 20%. I did not, as a man, it's against your programming to believe you're in that 80%. If you tell people that I am not part of the demographic of men most women want, oh, you failed as a man. What the fuck do you mean? Hit the gym, you fat fuck. Wear some Febreze, not Febreze, some Axe body spray. There's a lot of product out there. Make some money. Buy some better clothes. What the fuck are you talking about? It was forbidden to accept the fact that, you were not desired by most women. And you know, even saying that sounds complicated. No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you're ugly. I'm not saying that you're undesirable. But this idea of marketing yourself like a product to be desired by most women, to be the woman, to be the guy that every woman wants. Not every guy can be that. Some guy, by the way, a lot of the misogyny expressed by men is because the refusal to accept that, hey, you're in that 80%. When I went on my journey into redefining masculinity in a relationship, part of that journey came a realization of being more authentic. Who knew that was a tough thing? Even on this podcast, part of me doing this podcast and saying shit, it's my goddamn podcast. It's me practicing being a more authentic human being. I've said this on the Manifesto episode. This is the first episode of episode one, straight out of therapy. And I said that from now on, I'm going to stop treating the audience like some chick I'm trying to bang. Because when you're the chick I'm trying to bang, my only interest is to be who I think you want me to be. Be yourself. Are you out your fucking mind? Or I'll be myself, but is that going to get me late? So accepting who you are or not trying so hard. Or who knows? Maybe if you were just yourself, you would... I understand what people meant now when they say just be yourself. Because just being yourself, accepting who you are, makes you desirable. Maybe not by most women, but the women who should be. The women who are your green flags. That's what I'm saying. I used to date. That's actually what the. I used to date a woman who I would consider like top echelon. She was top shelf, the highest shelf ones. Now, she probably wouldn't see herself like that or whatever, but she was into, you got to get the best this, the best that, the blah, 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 and stuff like that. But I remember, here's what I'm saying. Dating a woman, in my mind, I believed was outside my, out of my league. And it was the most stressful experience ever. Because I didn't feel like part of that 20%. That's what made it so difficult. I wasn't, drove me nuts, the most desired. You know, I remember reading this, I can't remember what the article, but it was controversial ideas that are rejected. Essentially is some idea that, or notions worth questioning, and it's how if monogamy benefits men more than it benefits women. We were taught to believe that monogamy benefits women. No, it benefits men, women. Excuse me. It benefits men more than it benefits women, because if it wasn't for monogamy, all the top shelf chicks, all the hot chicks, those, you know what I mean? All women would go after that 20%. The high echelon of men. The rest of us would be like beating our meat. I'm hetero males, of course. You know what I mean? Or considering homosexuality. I don't know. Is that what happens to a man when he doesn't get laid? But whatever. But you'd be left out. You'd be left out and then pissed off. It's like, bitches ain't shit. Nah, you ain't shit. What we need to do is kill the 20%, fellas. Let's all get together. I'm kidding. All right, so, yeah, they'd be reproducing with a minority of men. But anyway, she like hit a nail with that one, man. It's funny, because I'm thinking about how all this time I wasted trying to be something I wasn't. I remember when, one last point, actually two more. Okay. Is, when I was, in my youth, part of the reason, the main reason I had difficulty, accepting rejection is because my mind refused to accept that someone out there, I wasn't someone's type. And I remember one of my male friends one of my male friends who handled rejection better. I remember him saying, it's like, dude, you're going to have to come to terms with the idea that not every chick is going to want to fuck you. Once you can accept that, you'll go far. Yeah, it fucked my ego up. So again, that's why it's so insightful. It's so powerful what she said about being in that 80%. And I mean, not being Mr. Universe, not being the guy on TV, not being the guy with all the money, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to say that you're ugly, undesirable. I'm just saying you're not on the top five desirables. And I blame fucking the concept of masculinity, man. The last thought, if right now I'm staying single, I'm enjoying my single life, and I'm in that age range where it's like, no, you're not competing against my ex, you're competing against my current lifestyle. I'm at that level of maturity. And a part of me said, if I am going to accept this monogamy thing, and I mean like that one out there, the one I'm supposed to be with, you know, all that, hook up with someone, right? I need to accept the fact, and this is like common wisdom, but it makes more sense now. I need to accept the fact that the person I hook up with is going to be as fucked up as I am.
You know what that is? It's gross.
All right. This concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Again, reminder, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address, shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And last thing, like I said, if at any point in this episode you found yourself wondering what the fuck was he saying? Why the fuck does he talk like that? Man, what the fuck? Kindly remind yourself that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.